Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Brian Lin reports on a South Korean court's ruling against a man for gaining weight to avoid military service. Jill Robbins and I have a story about militancy in Rohingya camps in Bangladesh. We follow that with tips for writing students, then the lesson of the day. But first, here is Brian.
A South Korean court has found a man guilty of purposefully gaining weight to avoid completing required service in the country's military. Seoul's Eastern District Court sentenced the 26-year-old man to 1 year in prison for violating the country's Military Service Act. The Associated Press reports that the court suspended the sentence for 2 years. The court said the man did not appeal the November 13th ruling against him. The court said the man had gained more than 20 kilograms in an effort to get released from a government requirement to serve in the military. South Korea requires all able-bodied men to serve in the military for 18 to 21 months. However, some individuals with health issues can instead perform service in non-military positions. Such service can be carried out at welfare centers or at other approved places within communities. People with serious health problems are not required to serve in the military at all. A health examination in 2017 found the man was physically able to become an active duty soldier while weighing 83 kilograms. But the court said the man received advice that he could get permission to serve a non-military social service position if he was overweight. This led him to start gaining weight. The court said that in 3 physical exams carried out in 2022 and 2023, the man weighed 102 to 105 kilograms, a weight that made him fit for social service. The AP reported it was not clear how the crime was discovered, nor if the man began his military duty before he was tried. The court said only that he had promised to meet his military service requirement. South Korea operates a compulsory military service system to deal with possible military threats from North Korea. But the policy is widely debated in the country. Some critics of the system point to the fact that requiring military service forces young men to suspend their studies or professional careers. South Korea's Military Manpower Administration is responsible for operating the country's compulsory military service system. It says that each year, about 50 to 60 cases of dodging military duties have been reported. The organization notes the most common ways to avoid military duties are to gain or lose large amounts of weight or to not complete necessary medical treatments before physical exams. I'm Brian Lin.
The Rohingya are an ethnic group from Myanmar. They have been displaced from that country, and many now live in some of the world's largest refugee camps in neighboring Bangladesh. Recently, Reuters news agency reported that thousands of Rohingya fighters are coming out of the camps and getting involved in conflicts in the area. Reuters spoke to people who said that between 3,000 and 5,000 fighters have joined armed groups. One example is 32-year-old Rafiq, who fled Myanmar in 2017. He left a huge refugee settlement in southern Bangladesh in July. He crossed back into the country that he fled with the goal of fighting in its civil war. Thousands of Rohingya militants like Rafiq have come from camps with over a million refugees in Cox's Bazar. Aid agencies and individuals told Reuters that recruitment by militant groups and violence has increased sharply this year. "We need to fight to take back our lands," said Rafiq. He spent weeks fighting in Myanmar before returning after he was shot in the leg. "There is no other way."
The Rohingya are mainly a Muslim group. They started fleeing in large numbers to Bangladesh in 2016 because of violence there. The Rohingya are believed to be the world's largest stateless population. However, a rebellion in Myanmar has gained support since the military seized power from democratically elected leaders in 2021. The rebellion involves several armed groups inside the country. Among them are the Arakan Army ethnic militia, which is active in Rakhine State. Now, Rohingya fighters are joining the fight on the side of the military government. Shahab Enam Khan is an international relations professor of Bangladesh's Jahangirnagar University. He said that the two largest Rohingya militant groups are the Rohingya Solidarity Organization, RSO, and the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army, ARSA. Khan said they do not appear to have a lot of support in the camps in Cox's Bazar. But Khan said dissatisfied refugees could be pulled into militant activities and pushed further into criminal activities that could then involve other countries in the area as well.
Rohingya militant Abu Afna took a boat from near the camps to Mongda in western Myanmar during the mid-year rainy season. He said he was housed and armed by the Myanmar military government. "Our main enemy isn't the Myanmar government, but the Rakhine community," Abu Afna said. The military government provided Rohingya with weapons, training, and money, Abu Afna said. It also offered the Rohingya a Myanmar citizenship card. "Citizenship is important to the Rohingya, because Myanmar has long denied the group citizenship in Myanmar. However, in the refugee camps in Bangladesh, they cannot hold jobs." "We didn't go for the money," Abu Afna said. "We wanted the card, nationality." A UN official and two Rohingya fighters said many were forced to fight in the conflict in Myanmar, including children as young as 13. In Rakhine State, militants have struggled to push back the heavily armed and better prepared Arakan army. But the battle for Mongda has continued for 6 months, and Rohingya fighters said they have slowed the rebel offensive. Bangladesh tried to organize talks between Rohingya fighters and the Arakan army earlier this year, but they did not succeed. Back in Cox's Bazar, there is unrest in the camps. The Rohingya militant groups, the RSO and ARSA, are competing for influence. Fighting and shootings are common. People in the camps are fearful, and the fighting is disrupting humanitarian efforts.
John Quinley is director at the human rights group Fortify Rights. He said violence was at the highest level since the camps opened in 2017. The nonprofit group reported that armed groups have killed at least 60 people this year while capturing and torturing opponents and using threats to try to silence their critics. Wendy McCants is director of the Norwegian Refugee Council in Bangladesh. She warned that money given by international groups for the camps might end within 10 years. She called for refugees to be given the chance to work for a living. If not, there will be many young men without jobs who could join violent groups. Sharat Ullah is a Rohingya man who escaped from Mong Da with his wife and 4 children in May. Now they are in the camps at Cox's Bazar. He said he was struggling to get food. The former rice and shrimp farmer said his biggest worry is the safety of his family. "We have nothing here," he said. "We live in fear." I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report. Today, we continue our series of expert suggestions for academic writing. Our guest is Jennifer Ahern Dodson, Assistant Professor of the Practice in Writing Studies at Duke University in North Carolina. Ms. Ahern Dodson starts a conversation with both students and professors planning to write a paper or essay. She asks about their earlier writing experiences. Were they negative or positive? She advises that you are not alone if you have had problems with your writing. She says everyone struggles with writing.
Writing is hard. All writers struggle at some point. And even if writing has come easy for you at some point, in your work as a student, that eventually you're going to hit a roadblock. And so part of what I like to get folks thinking about, besides writing hard for everybody, is to really take a moment to think about their past writing experiences and when the writing was going well, what was happening. When the writing wasn't going well, what was happening.
She says most people's negative writing experiences happen because a very special formula is required for a paper, including an exact length.
And so they primarily focus on and worry about what the final product has to look like how many pages of a research essay, or if it is second or third language, punctuation, grammar, like making sure it gets communicated in the right language. And so focusing on the end makes it really hard to get started.
Another problem can arise when the need to do well on a paper is extremely important.
Like a timed essay exam or a college application essay or a research paper that is at the end of the semester and it's tied to their entire grade for the class. So worrying about what would happen if they don't do well, like bad grades, don't get into college, creates, of course, significant anxiety, and that can make it harder to get the writing done.
Then she and the people she's helping move to more positive projects. She says usually when writing comes easily, the writers feel they have something important to say. The teacher advises asking yourself questions. What personal understanding of the subject can you bring to your paper? Why is this subject important? For whom is it meaningful? Who will be reading it?
Think about who your audience is and what it is that you really want to say to them. What that can do is help you switch the focus from the final product and what it can look like and really more on what you have to offer, your particular perspective.
She says that is an important change for all writers. And that's the VOA Learning English Education Report. Coming soon, Jennifer Ahern Dodson talks about doing research, sitting down to write, and sharing your writing with others. I'm Jerry Watson.
You are listening to the VOA Learning English podcast. Today we heard an education tips report with advice from an expert on student writing. Jill Robbins of our Lesson of the Day is with me now to talk about writing tips a little more. Welcome, Jill.
Thanks, Mario. It's always nice to talk with you.
Jill, one word in today's education tips that our listeners might want to know more about is formula. Can you explain how it is being used to talk about writing and why it might be important?
Sure, Mario. A formula is a plan for making something with the idea that it will give a useful or correct result. The advisor says that some learners have a bad experience with writing because they are expected to follow a formula. She said, starting with the end in mind makes it harder to get started.
Is using a formula not a good way to deal with writing?
Well, using a formula can be very useful. A formula might require a piece of writing to be a certain length, 500 words, for example. The writing might need to include certain information that is necessary to explain its subject. What happened? Who was involved? When did it happen? If a subject is very complex, the writer might need to make choices about what to keep in and what to exclude.
So, using a formula is not necessarily a bad thing.
That's right. The advisor suggests thinking about who your audience is and what you want to say to them. That is a good way to start. Using a formula can ensure that your audience gets the information that they need in a recognizable form. Communication needs structure to work.
That's a good point, Dr. Jill. That's all the time we have today. We look forward to talking with you again soon.
It's always nice to chat on the podcast. Thanks, Mario.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
And now it's time for the lesson of the day on the Learning English Podcast. My name is Andrew Smith, and I'm joined by Dr. Jill Robbins. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Andrew.
Our lesson is based on our video series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C. Here's Anna introducing herself.
Hello, my name is Anna Mateo.
What do these words have in common? Myself, yourself, himself, herself, oneself, itself, ourselves, yourselves, and finally, themselves. If you said they are pronouns, you are correct. But they are a special kind of pronoun.
These pronouns are called reflexive pronouns. And like a mirror, they reflect or refer back to the subject. For example, I can talk about myself, and Jill can talk about herself.
And you can talk about yourself, and so on. We're going to hear lots of these pronouns in Lesson 17 of Level 2 of Let's Learn English. In the lesson, Anna and her work colleague, Pete, have to take care of babies all by themselves.
But Anna and Pete don't have any children.
That's right, but these are special kinds of babies. Let's find out more. And be sure to listen for the reflexive pronouns.
Anna, Pete, I have a new assignment for you. A show on single parents. What is it like for a mother or a father to raise a child by herself or himself?
We can interview single parents. They can share their experiences themselves.
Yes, but you need to experience parenthood yourselves.
Ourselves?
Yeah. How do we do that? We're not parents.
I asked myself the same question. I said, Katie, how are they going to do that? Then an idea came to me. I will give you the babies.
This still seems a little confusing, Jill. How is Ms. Weaver going to give them babies?
That's a good question. Professor Bott was asking, wait a minute, is Professor Bott himself, itself, theirself, maybe? We don't know often what to call artificial intelligence, so I'm going to say this. Professor Bott was asking the same thing.
You may be asking yourself the same thing that I'm asking myself. What is Miss Weaver talking about? I am sure we will find out shortly.
Next, let's find out what Miss Weaver really means by listening to the next part.
Here are your babies.
Those are bags of flour.
No, Pete. For the next 6 days, this is your baby. Here are your instructions. Do not leave your babies alone. A baby cannot take care of itself. And you two must do everything by yourselves. We will meet next Friday. Oh, and the person who does the best research will get an extra day of vacation. Help yourself to a baby.
Ah, yes. It's the take care of a baby exercise. Except instead of a real baby, a person has to take care of an object. I remember when I was in high school, we had a teacher who gave students eggs, and they had to carry the egg with them at all times for a week and make sure they never broke the egg.
At least bags of flour are stronger than eggs.
Yes, but they're also heavier, and in that way, they're more like a real baby. Flour, by the way, is spelled F-L-O-U-R, and it is what we use to make bread.
And lots of other goodies. Let's see how Anna and Pete begin to take care of their flower babies.
And we should explain that after Anna makes a comment about Pete's baby, he pushes her bag of flour off of the table. And that's why she calls him a monster. And later, Pete throws Anna's bag of flour to her after she forgets it. Okay, let's listen.
Pete, look, my baby is organic and whole grain. Your baby is ordinary. Monster! This is a great idea, Ms. Weaver.
This is a terrible idea.
Speak for yourself, Pete. We need to throw ourselves into the research. I'm starting right now.
Hey, Anna. You forgot your baby.
Come to Mama. Oh, good girl. Good girl.
I think this is going to be a fun project for Anna and Pete. Now, let's talk about a few common expressions in English that use reflexive pronouns.
Sometimes we say a machine can do something by itself. For example, if a computer is programmed in a special way, an artificial intelligence program allows the computer to teach itself.
Or we can say a robot vacuum cleaner can vacuum the floor of a room by itself.
Similarly, a player piano is a special musical instrument that plays songs by itself without a person pressing the keys.
We also commonly give advice about people's health, telling them to take care of themselves.
That's right. Jill, I know you work hard, and so make sure to take care of yourself too.
Thanks, I try to. I started a Tai Chi class last week, you know.
Oh, that's right. Well, I hope that is good for you. Also, in situations where we know that we or someone else must do work to get a job done, we say things like these examples.
That paper's not going to write itself. That car won't fix itself. The wall's not going to paint itself.
We use the word not, and then the verb, and the reflexive pronoun, itself.
There are lots of things in life we just have to do ourselves. No one else can do them for us.
That's right. Like with learning another language, other people can help us and teach us, but in the end, we have to learn a lot of it ourselves, without other people always helping us.
Now, before we finish, we should listen to Professor Bott explain the difference between singular and plural reflexive pronouns.
Singular reflexive pronouns end in self. Plural ones end in selves. Anna says,
we need to throw ourselves into the research.
The subject, we, is plural. So we must use the plural reflexive pronoun ourselves.
Listeners, ask yourselves, do you understand how to use reflexive pronouns? Remember that each lesson of Let's Learn English comes with a lesson plan that you can download for free from our website. The lesson plan for Lesson 17 explains more about reflexive pronouns.
So do yourself a favor and look at the lesson plan.
Haha, caught that one, Andrew. And remember that you can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thanks for listening to the lesson of the day. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
And that's our show for today. But join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm...